Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. There's a lot going on in the world, as you know. We're still traveling in Oklahoma and have had some great meetings. Those that have come out, thank you so much. It's so fun to meet you in person and talk with you and everything. And those that are home and praying for us on our trip, thank you for doing that. So many things come up on the road issues, problems, different things, and we can just feel that you're praying for our blessing, protection, and direction in the things we're doing, and we appreciate that. But God's really blessed the meetings. There have been great turnouts, just great spirits in the meeting of just, you can feel the Lord there and just influencing and encouraging and motivating people to be all in for the Lord and do something significant with their life for Him. And some of the things I want to talk about, some of the videos below. We have one on the eclipse by Mike Adams, and he brings up some interesting points. There's no reason that anything significant should happen for the 4 minutes of the eclipse, obviously. But it is true that it is something that is dark in the spiritual realm. Even the World Economic Forum he brought up, and then I realized he was right. Their logo is of a solar eclipse. So those that follow Lucifer, those that are wicked, there's great significance when the sun is blotted out. It's kind of like the truth being blotted out, the light that expels the darkness of their lies and things. So we just need to pray that God will be merciful and that we'll be wise and wherever we are, whatever we're doing. But he had some good suggestions at the end of his video of be praying for all those entrapped in the transgender movement and different things, that God would free them and use this as a special time of people turning to the Lord instead, which I thought was a great idea. Another video below is by Tucker, and he has so many good ones nowadays, but it's one that you really need to watch. He interviews MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, about how the Republicans have been purposely selling out their base. It's really just, it's satanic, it's evil, because they've lied. They finally were given the power to do something, and then they don't. And Speaker Mike Johnson, she thinks he might be being blackmailed or something. Maybe he's done something wicked, and they've got the goods on him, because he is now just actively pushing the Biden administration agenda. And it's discouraging, of course, but in the bill they just passed last week, funding for late-term abortion, mutilating surgeries is going to fund those, fully funded the Department of Justice that is attacking Christians one after another, and on, but it's something we just need to keep praying about and then living in a righteous way, so we are pleasing to the Lord, and that sometimes causes Him to be merciful to us, even when we as a nation do not deserve it. Another key video, an event that happened this last week, is four more pro-lifers in Tennessee were sentenced to 11 years in prison for praying outside an abortion clinic. Now just think about that for a minute. One of them is Eva. She's 87 years old, and she lived through a concentration camp experience back in World War II with the communists, and then came to America. And just think, she's had her life in America, and now going to spend the rest of her life in a federal prison because she was praying outside in an abortion clinic. We are moving so fast in the wrong direction. We need to be sobered by that. The fact that that could happen anywhere in the world, but in America, and to someone that's already escaped the concentration camps of a communist country, 70 years ago. Anyway, it was sobering. And I put below one of the videos, and I encourage you to watch it. It's her kind of giving her testimony, but then also encouraging us to take seriously what's happening. Do you not understand that, you're falling to communism right now? This is totalitarian. When anyone, for any reason, could ever be thrown into prison for 11-year sentence, when the average murder sentence is 7 years, and they actually serve, that's the average, something is wrong, and of course it is. But she said this in a message to the church. I just want to read this and hope it'll be an encouragement to you. Be willing to sacrifice all to obey the Lord. When a government rules, which does not value human life at any stage of development or aging, It only depends on who is in charge that hour that will determine who will be killed next. Right now, it's the babies, which have been dehumanized. But when we have trouble sustaining the elderly and the handicapped, medically and financially, there will be another law made that you are no longer a person. And out of so-called compassion, we will just kill them. After all, Johnny has to go to college. Granny, why are you so selfish to stay alive? So I say to the church, if you don't obey the Lord and try to rescue those who are being slaughtered today out of love for Jesus, at least do it out of self-preservation. She sees, because she's been through it, the road we're walking. You devalue babies, and then next is the elderly, and then next is people that love their country, and then next is those that are creating a lot of carbon, and then next, it's everybody. Why? Because Lucifer is the prince of this world, and he hates all of humanity, even the disciples that are following him and marching toward these orders. When he is done with them, he will suck them down into hell, and where they'll be tormented forever. But I just, anyway, it's sobering times in which we live. This week for the episode, since we're on the road and everything, I'm going to play a talk I gave a couple days ago at one of these meetings in Oklahoma. And just the day before, so I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, they asked me to speak about the transgender movement and then also about what's going on with China. So kind of two different topics, but I did my best to kind of share key information on both of those topics that I hope will be a blessing to you and encourage you and motivate you. These people are in control of everything, the wicked, every single institution in our country, even some of the woke churches here in Oklahoma. They are promoting just evil. They were giving some examples at some of the meetings I attended. I just couldn't believe it. Churches that claim to be Christian, and they talked about the things they're doing. But I just, it's shocking times in which we live. But God has us here for a purpose. So make sure you're fulfilling that and then allowing to put all your burdens upon him, the things that are too heavy to bear, and just be faithful today. But I hope you enjoyed this talk, and I just want to thank you for your support so we can go and do this all over the country. God is really using it in a special way, and I know it's not me. He's just shown up, and I can see the conviction in people's faces and the reality. They realize they need to start following the Lord in a different way than they have in the past. And we're very grateful for that. But hope you enjoy this. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for what you do. Every time I'm here and you play that song, Oklahoma, it makes me want to move here. That is so great to have such a wonderful song to just energize your love of state and everything. And Oklahoma is a wonderful state. But I appreciate you being here. A couple things I'll address real quick that were brought up. You have to get out of those churches that are no good if you're in one. You have to do that. It's so wrong. It's like what Alexander Solzhenitsyn said. It's you're living by lies. When you're sitting there in the pew and irritated by your pastor refusing to speak truth, refusing to address the issues of our day, you're part of the problem. Because you're sitting there in silence saying, I am condoning this. Your silence is saying, I'm all on board on this. So it gives them a bigger stage. It gives them more influence. And it lies to everyone around you that this is okay for him to do this when it is not okay. It's an abomination to God to have a man that's supposed to be a shepherd leading sheep that is ignorant, that's naive, that's a coward, that is not willing to speak truth. That's the most evil thing you can possibly get. For evil to do evil, it's normal. But when someone who's supposed to be righteous does evil, it's disgusting. And I want to encourage you in that. And then as you work in the schools, things, you have to always have your number one priority, though, is to get the children out. I'm just telling you. I was a school teacher myself years ago. The system is perfectly designed to give you what you are getting. What does that mean? It is not a failing system. It is accomplishing exactly what it was designed to do. Destroy the hearts, minds, and souls of your children and your grandchildren.
And I do not think you will ever change that. It's fine to work toward it, but until it is fixed, not a child should be in there. We kind of quit playing wishy-washy and, oh, we're going to get this one thing passed in 2 years to help out a little bit. The kids are being destroyed by what they're being taught. Their minds are being confused and twisted. They're being taught black is white and white is black. Everything is a complete abomination to God when a child is taught lies or truth. And anyway, I love young people. But this is worth fighting for you too. I don't care if you have one child. That's the future. That's your heritage. That's your blessing on the next generation, is teaching, training, discipling, mentoring those young people so they will boldly stand in the gates and say, you're not teaching that in our schools. How dare you pass this legislation? How dare you do that? If we don't teach them, it's just us. We're all going to die off here and no one will be standing and being the light like we're supposed to be, expelling the darkness of their lives. The salt to preserve is not happening. We can't do that because we can have all the meetings we want, do whatever, but if we aren't on our knees, God help us, but then living a life that is the truth. Like I said, like where you get out of the church, I've been here 30 years, that's okay. I'm gone now, and I'm going to tell everybody there why I'm leaving. I refuse to sit here and hear lies being spoken and be silent. I cannot be silent any longer. I must expose the evil. The church is the foundation of the truth, the Bible tells us. And the family is, those are two of God's institutions that were supposed to preserve everything else. And then the state had a limited role of only punishing the evildoers and then setting up parameters to protect the freedoms God has given every person. And state has said, nope, we want to raise the children too. Nope, we want to be in charge of the religion of the society or whatever. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. But he wanted me to talk a little bit about some of that going on with the destruction of our children through the teaching of perversion and everything else and what's going on in China. It was brought up already, but the Transgender Day on Easter Sunday. If that doesn't make every Christian in America scared to death that God's not going to send fire down and literally wipe out this country, I don't know what would. It's incredible to me. The most significant day in the history of the world, where a man who claimed to be the Son of God brought himself back from the dead, and they would do something blasphemous like that. And it's purposeful. That is not ignorance. That is they're mocking God. They are shaking their fist in his face. Well, he at some point will respond, I promise you. But this is the whole battle that we're in. And as you work in the educational system here, you work in the churches, you work in the family units, either Christ and Christian morality will be taught, okay, which makes the world a productive, blessed place to be, or you're going to glorify lust to the point it consumes all the energies of mankind and you collapse into hell. That's the only choice. If you do not teach Christ and biblical morality to the next generation, then we will lose and we will get what the Bible says in Psalms. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That's the final destination of where we're going. The push for transgender, all this nonsense. What is transgenderism? It's nothing. It does not exist. So it's they win by getting us to discuss things that are not a reality. It's like discussing the Easter Bunny up here. What do you think about the Easter Bunny? Well, I don't really know. I'm not really for him. He doesn't exist. And transgender does not exist. Each of these individuals were made in the image of God, and they are perfect. And we need to let them know that. God doesn't make a mistake. You are uniquely and wonderfully made exactly how you are, and God has a plan for your life. And you must know that before these people lie to you and convince you to mutilate your own body and sacrifice it on the altar of Satan to destroy yourself and your ability to do the most amazing thing ever, to reproduce and to create life and getting married and everything else. No, they're going to do that. And so we have to get out there, because when you forget God and you throw him out, and we're in this process now of collapsing, you end in totalitarian communism. All communism is when a culture, a society where God has been rejected. Then that's the final destination of man's way of doing things. That's the only destination. That is the only possible place you will end up, is there. Again, in the newsletter here, there's a few things I wanted to talk about. He was clear that if our nation is to have a future, Oklahoma and its sister states must reclaim the educational policies that grounded them in moral sanity in academic achievement. You have to be moral again, or it doesn't. None of the other things matter. You can have an excellent education, but be immoral, you're still destroying yourself. The Bible says in Proverbs, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And we have to tell them, you're on a road that seems right, but it is not right, and you will destroy yourself. If you go into sexual perversion, it collapses. And we see that from Bible history, world history, because God makes it so. I mean, it's, there's no way to avoid it. It's not like, well, we can prop ourselves up in sexual immorality and be okay. It's like, no, no. When God says, no, you can't, there's nothing anyone could do to stop it from happening, but that's where we are. But again, this is Marxism. They understood what they are doing. Back in 1958, goal number 26 of the Communist Party USA was present homosexuality as normal, natural, healthy. 1958. They knew what was going on. You get that accepted, then there's no more barometer for where you are, what's wrong, what's right. You can't do that. The communist meeting I went to, and I talk about in my movie, in 1992 at the University of California, Berkeley, they say, we have to destroy the last vestige of moral fabric in this country. And they felt in 1992, the only thing that will do that is if we can get Americans to accept homosexuality. That's the Communist Party USA at a meeting 32 years ago saying, we've got to get behind this thing. And they did, because they knew you will collapse if you do that. Then his newsletter talked about a bunch of different people that have been so instrumental in this destructive process. But one of them was Wilhelm Reich. And he was a member of the Frankfurt School, which you need to know about. And if you don't, the movie gets into that. But the Frankfurt School, they were these wicked people, communists, all of them, brought to America by John Dewey, the founder of our government schools. Once you see who the founder is, it's something you go, oh, and then this is what it's producing today. You realize, oh, he was really successful in hijacking the government school system to do what he was wanting to do. He wanted our children to be cogs in the socialist machine. Well, you need someone that's really been dumbed down and is content with nothing. But here's Wilhelm Reich. This is why the whole battle for this perversion is going on right. Here's one quote from 1932. And this is what they've done. Took them 90 years to pull it off, but here it is. We as communists used to debate people about the existence of God. And after a while, I came to a conclusion that this was a waste of time. You aren't going to debate people away from the existence of God. But what we found was that if you can get people involved in deviant sexual behavior, the whole idea of God just disappears automatically. Do you understand how evil that is? You get the kids being so immoral, God disappears because they don't want him to be there, because you're guilty. And so all said, no, I don't believe in God anymore. You don't want there to be a God there, because what you're doing, you know, is wicked. You know it is wrong. And so you're going to go into just self-denial and do that. But that's where we are. He also said some of the quotes that Bob had in there. No societal restraints on the time, place, or nature of the expression of sexual passion. No limits. What is that talking about? Pedophilia. They've been breaking down that wall for 150 years, the elites. Cecil Rhodes, who is the father of the modern-day deep state movement worldwide for a one-world government that is, it's the religious, political and economic unification of the world. He stated in 1877 in his own book, and all the elites of the world have been marching toward that. He loved, in his own diary, he talked about how he loved molesting boys in the 1870s. They're all like that. That's why that's the plus on the little LB whatever. The plus is pedophilia. And that's what they're doing right now to the children, where you can't say, well, that's wrong, when there's no other standards on anything. Well, of course there's nothing. But that's what they're doing. But they've been patiently marching down this road for so long. Why? Because they are Satan's disciples. You all know, hopefully most of you are Christians, and you know that Jesus had his 12 disciples, but we are also his disciples on this earth. We're here to speak the truth, stand for the truth, share the good news of the gospel with others, and live in such a way when we share it with them, it makes sense. It's like, oh, I know Jesus is real because you are so different. Where our life convinces them he's got to be real, because I've never met anybody like you before. You're so loving and kind and understanding, but you're willing to speak truth to me even though it might cause conflict. Well, we've been naive to think, you don't think Satan's going to have disciples? Followers? Well, let me tell you this. I've studied them now for 30, 40 years, full-time, the communists, and those are his disciples. And you see by their actions, they're not stopping until every single thing God intended to be a certain way has been flipped on its head. And I go, oh, those are his disciples. And that's why when they come to power, it's slaughter and destruction and starvation and torture. Oh, what did he come to do? To kill, to steal, and destroy. That's all he has to offer. There's nothing else. And it's why it's always lies to. The Bible tells us there is no truth in him, their commander-in-chief. None. Why do you not get a straight shot of things on the news or whatever? Because the people in charge of all the institutions of influence are disciples of Satan, whether they know it or not, and many of them do. And they openly know that. That's what it's all about. The elites, Epstein Island, that's all that was about, is sacrificing to their Lord and Savior, Lucifer. And they openly talk about it in their books. This is not like some fringe thing I'm talking about. Saul Alinsky, who wrote the Field Manual, Rules for Radicals, for their entire movement since the 60s, dedicated his book to Lucifer. I mean, so this is a real thing. That's why Christianity is so important. That's why what you're doing, Bob, is so important. Because this is a real battle that Ephesians 6 told us. It's a spiritual battle, and there is wickedness, and it is marching forward because we've been hiding in the shadows and quivering inside the walls of the church, scared, oh, well, it's not very popular to talk about these things, so I better just be quiet. Just yesterday, four more pro-lifers, and we know some of them personally, in Tennessee were found guilty and sentenced to 11 years in federal prison for praying outside of an abortion clinic. One of them is an 87-year-old lady, Eva, who grew up in a concentration camp in Czechoslovakia when the communists had took it over. And she's now going to prison at 87 for praying outside an abortion. She can't believe it. It's like, what? What do you think you're doing here in America? You think we're not falling to communism? I'm telling you, we are. Right now, we are falling to communism. There will be a boot on the back of our neck if God isn't so merciful and we aren't so humble enough to get on our knees and say, God, forgive us. Forgive us for what we have done. I'm just telling you, it's America has been so blessed for so long. We have such nice lives. We go home and everything's great. What's the problem? We're in this illusion, this grand illusion that everything's going to be okay. Why? Because it's always been okay. Well, you study history. Any nation that has ever walked the road we are on is no longer around. Because God finally says, enough. And he just crushes it under his fist. I'm done. Especially one that was supposed to be this light, this city on a hill. That used to send the gospel to the nations of the world. Now we're sending out pastors from our seminaries that have twisted all the Bible passages to motivate people to fight for social justice. and the Black Lives Matter movement, all these other, the climate change and this nonsense, all the energies of the church harnessed on foolishness and evil programs, because they sound like they're good on the surface, but you look underneath, you go, no, this is wickedness. And they're suckers for it. Why? Because back in the 1930s, the Marxists said the number one thing we were doing in the 30s and 40s and 50s is going into the seminaries throughout America to get our degrees and then stay on as the professors. You wonder why only a couple seminaries in America still believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God. Most of the pastors being turned out are not even born again. That's why they get caught up in things that sound good instead of are good. And they want to do things that make them look good and feel good inside because they're lost. And so that's why it's, oh, let's go feed the poor. Let's go. Feeding the poor, if you're not doing it in the name of Jesus with the gospel being shared, is sinful because it's done out of pride. You're trying to look good or feel good. Oh, I fed the poor today. If you didn't tell them about Jesus, you're the most wicked person ever. Give them a meal, last them one day, you feel good about it, and they die and go to hell. That's unacceptable. But that's what's happened in the church. We need pastors to stand up. They said the sexual revolution requires the dissolution of the family. Who said that? Karl Marx. Why? Because once you take apart the family, there's no training ground for the children. It's just the state raising the children. And people are not connected. Most people in America today don't have, hardly have any friends except their family. Because we're so torn apart because of social media and stuff, where everyone is just living in this little fantasy world, probably communicating mainly with bots and stuff, not even real people, but they think, oh, I've got 900 friends on Facebook. No, you don't have any friends. If you haven't looked them in the eyes and seen into their soul, you're empty, you're lost, you're an island. And that's the point of all that. They want us to be each man an island unto himself that just feels so alone. We're scared to stand up because we really don't know anybody else. That's why this group is so important, Bob. And all of you being here is so important. Because then you're together going, oh, no, we're not alone. Oh, no, we're not crazy. Oh, no, we're not saying something that's foolish or whatever. And it gives you the courage to go, we need to stand. We need to make a difference right where we are. But there was a book written in 1990 by the Marxist called After the Ball. And it said, that's how we're going to get Americans to accept homosexuality in the 1990s. And it was a key thing. I could go more on about this, but he wanted me also just to briefly go into China, what's going on there. But again, work to get the kids out. As you're correcting the system, once it's perfectly corrected, then a child might be worth putting in it, but they're not in the meantime. And you just need, you get 10, 20% of the kids out. That's enough to have a future. Most people are not doing anything with their lives. So if you get 10, 20% of the people on board standing for truth, you've got the majority, because most people, unfortunately, don't do much of anything. China is a super real threat. Okay, in America. Hopefully you know that and understand. In 1949, when they finished the Communist Revolution there and took over China, and they were totally put in power. Mao was put in power by the United States State Department. If you research it and study, you're like, oh my goodness, we made sure the Communists took over China. It's crystal clear. It's not like even, well, that's great. We cut off all the arms and all the supplies to the freedom-fighting opposition purposefully so Mao would be able to take it over. They love having enemies because it makes you afraid, and then they can spend lots of money on war and preparing for war and launder the money into their pockets, which they do. Each year, on average, the Pentagon is not able to account of their budget $200 billion. And we've never done anything about that. We never said, we need to find out what's going on here. September 11th, 2001, is the day Dick Cheney came up, or actually it was the 10th, the day before, and said, we have over $2 trillion we can't account for in the Pentagon budget. And then the next day, September 11th happened, and no one ever thought about it again. It's a laundering operation, the majority. That's not going to our boys. So in 1949, they took over China. That very week, Mao's right-hand man, Lee, he wrote in his diary, 100 years to America. We're going to take it. That's how, I want you to hear that so you understand the communist mind. They just finally succeeded taking over this huge country there. And that day, 100 years to America. So they've always had the goal by 2049 to take over America. They've written papers on it. I've heard speeches by some of their top generals that have been sneaked out. And that's the goal. Of course, in 1966, they had the Cultural Revolution. And the four things that Mao said, I have to get rid of, and this is what we're having a cultural revolution right now. He said the old culture has to go, the old ideology, the old customs, and the old traditions. That's what they're doing in America right now. We're in the middle of the cultural revolution. We're still armed, so they can't be quite as obvious with the slaughter, although it's happening through abortion and through everything else. And so they did that. And during that, over 60 million Chinese died during the Great Leap Forward of Mao. And then just a few years after that, in 1973, David Rockefeller went over to visit China. And he was kind of the elite of the world back then. The Rockefeller was the main family. And he wrote an editorial in the New York Times. You can still read it. It's online. And he said, whatever they had to do to achieve what they have, it was worth it. Over 60 million deaths. And it is now the model for the world. That's 1973. And that's when we started sending billions of dollars and all our technology there because the elites of the world said, that's what we want the whole world to look like as soon as possible. And that's we've built them up into the superpower. And the money from Walmart is going to build a military to take us out. They updated it to 2035 a few years ago. And then just recently, about 6 months ago, they say, we think we can take America by 2028. And that's literal troops on the ground take America. They're not talking about just, they've been working, collapsing us from within. They own all the media stations from all their advertisements. That's why no media will ever talk against them. Hollywood will never make a film that's anything except positive toward China because they want to make money off of them. And we're completely dependent on them. They make everything that we live on. All our medications. With COVID, that was exposed. 96 or 7% of all antibiotics in the world are made there. And nothing's changed. We didn't go, that might be a good idea to make some of those things in America. The average American's on three different pharmaceuticals. And they make all those. They could poison them, or they could just say, we're not selling them to you anymore. It would take us years to get things going. We would lose half of our population just from that. But it's every business would go out of business. You'd go to the local stores, everything in there is from China. I mean, to give your enemy, your number one clear enemy, the ability to just destroy you, that's purposeful, I'm telling you. That's because they've bought off our politicians, they've bought off our the people at the Pentagon. The top military leaders in the Pentagon are all in the back pocket of Red China. They would be working toward them, for them, not us, if this conflict happens. That's the thing that we saw some of that. I think it was Milley or whoever was, you know, had called them, said, oh, if Trump tries to do anything, get you, I'll let you know ahead of time. Yeah, it's great. Everything is going to be just fine. Well, they're working toward a totalitarian surveillance state with the social credit scores and everything, just like China, because it's the model they want, where they can be in control. Their number one goal is to cut population. So that's how I can say with 100% certainty when someone would ask, do you think another pandemic's coming? Oh, yes. Do you think more wars are coming? Oh, yes. Do you think more medications that make you infertile? And oh, yes. They want 7 billion people gone by 2050. 7 billion. They write about it in their own books. Bill Gates talks about it. All of them talk about it. We got to get rid of these people. There's far too many to control. So that's the road we're on. But that's why what you're doing is so important. And I hope you feel right now kind of hopeless. The reason I'm telling you that is you have to get to that point so you will get on your knees. Because it is hopeless. If God does not step in and have mercy on us, you will have a boot on the back of your neck. And so will I. And so will my children and my grandchildren. Period. Why? Because you reap what you sow. It is a principle God has set in place to govern the universe, and you cannot defy him. He said, don't you deceive yourself and think you can mock me. When you say, we don't want God in our schools, we don't want the Ten Commandments, we don't want this, and the churches say, we don't want God in here, he's too offensive, the Bible's a lot of those passages, we better not talk about, they're offensive. God's like, okay, there's only one option. All nations that forget God will be turned into hell. We need to pray, prepare, separate, and share. Pray, prepare. There's dark storm clouds on the horizon. And you know that means here in Oklahoma, tornadoes, big storm coming. When you see that, you're like, oh, do we got groceries? Do we got stuff? We need to be prepared because it's some rough time is coming. We don't know exactly what, but something, because the clouds are really dark. So we know that tells us. We need to, as we pray and prepare, we need to separate out. What does that mean? The Bible says, separate out and be ye holy. We're supposed to be different. And if I came to your house and looked at the movies on your shelf, would I go, yeah, they're different? And I'm saying this to myself as much as you, but I love you. And as your brother, I need to speak the truth. Are you playing footsies with the world? Or are you following the Lord? He hates what is evil, the Bible tells us. And it tells us that he who is wise hates what is evil. Because he knows it's a lie. He knows it's a chocolate bar that has poison in it. So yeah, it looks attractive, but I'm not going to eat it because God said, you know, don't touch that. I know it looks good. You're hungry and your lust of your flesh wants you to eat that. But I'm telling you here kindly all through the book of Proverbs and everywhere else, there's poison in it. If you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, pornography, there's consequences to everything, every word, thought, and deed. And so we just need to take that, each of us individually, seriously. I know when God looks down and he sees someone that's humble enough to repent and say, God, I'm sorry, and to turn, which means you repent, means you do the opposite. You don't do that anymore. You don't do this. He loves that. And we see from the Bible stories with Abraham and everything, how few, if there's 10 people in this huge two big cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, if there's 10 righteous, would you not give them what they deserve? And God's like, yes, I would hold back for 10. That should encourage us. It makes me go, I want to be one of the 10. I want to be someone that he looks down for him. I'm going to hold back. I'm going to allow a great revival or something to turn the country back to me because of my children down there that are following me, are loving me, are repentant and love what is right and hate what is evil. I'm going to stand in the gap for them. And then share. What's share? Share the gospel with them. This world, these transgender community, they need hope. And Jesus is the hope. It gives life purpose and meaning. All of a sudden, my mother one time, there was a lesbian girl that worked at this grocery store. And my mom stopped and shared the gospel with her when she was checking out. And the girl said this, well, I just don't feel like I'm attracted to men. And my mom said, very wisely, being a sweet, godly lady, do you know what that means, sweetie? Some people, God has given that gift to not be attracted to the opposite sex so they can solely work for me. And that girl got saved. She has a dress on every time you see her now. And she goes, I found my purpose in Jesus. She'd got lost into lesbian stuff because she just felt like, I don't feel really attracted to these guys. And now she's, you know, anyway, I love that. That's what we need to be doing. Oh, no, you're perfect. These children, they're trying to, did you understand it's satanic when you're trying to get a little five-year-old to mutilate their body? I can't think of anything more evil that has ever happened in the history of the world. Throwing a baby to Baal in the fire, that's better because at least they're just going to be dead. They're not going to have to suffer the rest of their life. But you allow them to mutilate a child and then you got to live the rest of your life. You'll never be able to get married, never be able to have children. No, I mean, oh my goodness. That is, it's straight from the pit of hell, because you couldn't come up with a more clever way to torture someone than that. So, how am I doing, Bob?
You're doing phenomenal.
Okay. pray, prepare, separate, and share. Because God had us all born for such a time as this. He picked us. We could have been born some other time when none of this was going on, but he said, no, I want those people there. So, which means he has something for you to do.
Well, you were born for such a time as this, and so was I. And God knew what he was doing. So I just want to encourage you in that, just in your faithfulness each day, one day at a time, and looking for those around that are lost, looking for those around you that are spiritually blind, and really work and seek to have opportunities to be kind to them, but then in the process of that, telling them the good news about Jesus Christ. People are looking for hope right now, and we have it, so we need to share it. So I appreciate you very much. Thank you so much for all that you do. And until next week, God bless you.